إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whomever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhi wa sallam by Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan. حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ. May Allah protect and preserve him. And in the previous sessions, we spent some time dealing with an introduction to the book itself and its importance and its content, an introduction to the author, and then we began to one by one يعني review the مُقَدِّمَات يعني the preliminary statements that the author Hafidhullah made leading up to the topic of the character and morals of the prophets. In the last session, we dealt with a number of these preliminary statements, muqaddimat, from the author. And today we would like to continue with what remains. May Allah make it easy for us to complete them. Before going on to those muqaddimat or preliminary statements, introductory statements that we want to read tonight before going on to them, we want to look back quickly at some of the points that we dealt with last week from the study guide, yani the questionnaire study guide number 3. The first question, discuss the levels of the excellence of some prophets and messengers alayhim as-salam over others. And this is from the 7th muqaddimah. The levels of excellence of some prophets and messengers. Now, Ulul Azm, Naam. Afdal, Afdal Rusul, yani the best, the most superior of the messengers, prophets and messengers. Naam. Anything else after that? Naam. Naam, the best of the Ulul Azm are the Khalilain. Naam. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, the topic of the excellence of the prophets and messengers, yani, follows a number of muqaddimat before that, that people differ by the wisdom of Allah. Allah has given preference to some people over others. But the most important, yani, excellence or superiority is the rif'ah of iman, we said. Yani the excellence or the high status or standing that a person has due to iman. And from the people of iman, there's also a higher level from amongst them. There are some who are the highest from amongst the people of iman, and that is the people of ilm, from amongst the believers. And from amongst the people of ilm, there are also levels of preference and excellence and superiority of some scholars over other scholars. But the highest level is the what? The prophethood, which is those who are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we led up to this point, that even amongst the prophets and messengers, there are some who are superior, who excel, who surpass others. And from amongst the best of the prophets and messengers, are Ulul Azm, yani that is 5 prophets, first, Nuh alayhi salam, and then, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala jami' al-anbiya. So we said that the best of the prophets and messengers, the highest level of them is the Ulul Azm, and from amongst them there are two prophets, that is the Prophet Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are Al-Khalilan, the two dear close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst those two, the best of them is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatim al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, the seal of the prophets and messengers. Naam. After this, give an example of the tafdeel, preference or excellence of places and times, and discuss the related qa'ida. Yani, give an example of yani preferred tafdeel, excellence or superiority of places and times. Naam, Ibrahim.
As far as the place and time, afdal and amakin is al-masajid.
Naam, the best of places, يعني أحب الأماكن إلى الله المساجد. The best places are the masjids. Naam, Abu Sa'id. And from times we can say the month of Ramadan, which Allah revealed the Quran. Naam. And Arafah, يعني the day of Arafah. Huh? And Ashura. Naam. The day of Ashura, which is what? The 10th of Muharram. Naam. طيب, what is the qaida related to this matter? Naam. Fadlu.
Anything that is that Allah has raised in the deen of Islam, whether it's a place or it is through a time, it is based off the Sharia of Allah.
Naam.
It's off the legislation of Allah. It's not through man, it's from anything that is legislated in the Quran, Sunnah. This is the only way that you can make something afdal, something that.
Any preference or excellence of any place or time or person has to be based on, has to go back to what? To Allah, the Shari, the one who legislates. Naam. And also, what can we add to this principle? That if we find a person given preference, yani tafdeel shar'i, yani preference, that is, that something is better or preferable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not that he prefers this food over that food. But preference, yani tafdeel shar'i. If somebody, we see somebody giving preference to a place or time, or a person, this kind of tafdeel, and they don't have a text from the Sharia, then we say what?
Bidah.
It's batil, and this is the door that opens the way to
bidah,
innovation. So beware of this, that every preference, every excellence in front of Allah has to be based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said concerning that place, or that time, or that person, and whoever tries to make someone, or some place, or some time, yani to be more excellent, or better, or preferable, or have some superiority or virtue without a text from the Sharia, this is what opens the door to innovation. The third question discussed the Bashariya, the humanness, yani the humanity of the Prophets and Messengers alayhim salam, with its evidence. Naam, with its evidence. Tayyib, fadl.
Even with the great high status of the prophets and messengers and their excellence, they are still human beings. They're still bashar.
Naam.
And that they get sick, and that they cry, and that they worry, and they die.
And they die. The prophets and messengers, with their excellence and high status and virtue and superiority over the rest of the human beings, they're still human. Yani, they worry. They cry, they get sick, they die like other human beings. Naam. They are still human beings and they have no...
They have no certain part in rububiyyah.
No part in the rububiyyah or uluhiyyah. Yani they have nothing from the rububiyyah or uluhiyyah that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And what is the evidence for the humanity or the humanness of the prophets, Musa? Naam. Meaning? We have not sent? Min qablika?
Before you?
Except men. Human beings. But what kind of human beings? Those who? Nuhi ilayhim. Whom we have revealed, given revelation to. So they are human beings. Except that what? Their distinction and their superiority from the rest of the human beings. Yani they remain humans, but they received revelation. Question number 4, summarize the khasais or special features exclusive to the prophets and messengers alayhimus salam, and this is the 10th muqaddimah. Yani discuss the khasais of the prophets and messengers. And he mentioned how many? The Shaykh mentioned seven. Now, revelation, that they are given revelation, other human beings are not. Now, and they are protected from making mistakes in that revelation. In delivering the message, they don't make any mistake. They don't make any error. If they made any mistake as a human being, Allah corrects it. But He doesn't leave them on any error or mistake. In delivering that message, they are protected. They are guarded. Naam. There's no error, no mistake in that. Two. That's two. Somebody else. Naam. Allah made it forbidden for the earth to eat their flesh. Naam. That's three. Four. Naam. Abu Jamil. Their eyes sleep, but their hearts do not. Five. Naam. They're given a choice at the time of their death. Do they want to? Yani? Ad-dunya or al-akhirah? They want to stay in the world for a little longer, or are they ready to return to Allah? Naam. And they are buried in the place where they die. Naam. وَأَنَّهُمْ أَحْيَاءٌ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ يُصَلُّونَ. They are alive in their graves, performing salah. And there are other, khasais of the Prophet's message. This is what the Shaykh mentioned. Naam. The dreams of wahi. Naam. طيب. خير. خير. After this, summarize the khasais exclusive to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the 11th muqaddimah. Khasais of the Prophet. How many did the Shaykh mention? He mentioned in the two hadith, there are six in one and five in the other, that came to seven, right? And then he mentioned one more that's not in the hadith. Naam. Okay, so what are they? Jawami al-Kalim. Naam. What else? Comprehensive speech. Naam. Nusiratu bil-Ru'ab. Naam. That I'm given success or victory or support by Allah placing fear into the hearts of his enemies, even before he get to them. Naam. Abu Sa'id. The spoils of war was made halal for him, not made halal for anyone before him. Naam. Musa. Seal of the prophets. No prophet coming after him. Naam. Quran. Naam. The Quran. What about the Quran? Eternal miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran. Naam. And the earth has been made for him a means of purification and a place, a masjid, a place of salat. Wherever anybody in his ummah found the salat coming upon them, they can pray there. Naam. I was sent to the creation, to the whole of creation, all of them. Kafatan. To the whole of humanity. Every prophet before him was sent to only to their people. Exclusively. He was sent to the whole of humanity. Naam. He was given intercession, as-shafa'ah. This is what was mentioned last week from the hadith, the two hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah and the hadith of who? Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhum ajmain. And this is what we're going to pick up here, but just two questions remaining. Mention a proof that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent to all of humanity. Naam. The hadith of Abu Hurairah. The part of the hadith, that's a proof. أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَةً. I've been sent to the whole of creation. Naam. Any other proof from the other hadith? Anybody remember the other hadith? Prophet ﷺ said that, Naam. And كان النبي يبعث إلى قومه صاصة. وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَ. The Prophet would be sent to his people خَاسَ. Every Prophet was sent to his people especially, just to them, exclusively. But I have been missioned and sent to النَّاسِ عَامَ, to all of the people in general. And we'll see some ayahs from the Quran also as we go through, continue this 11th مُقَدَّمَة. And the last question, mentioned one of the khasais exclusive to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not found in the hadith of Jabir, another hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma. Now, what is the khasais that was not mentioned in either of the hadith? Naam. The living miracle of the Quran. The eternal miracle that is the Quran. Naam. Okay, today, inshallah, we're going to pick up where we left off at. Last week, we did the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th muqaddimah, dealing with the prophets and messengers, some of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving preference over others. And the exalted status of the prophets and messengers was such that the nature, the intellect, the heart of the human beings accept their truthfulness. And we also mentioned that in spite of the greatness and magnificence and the high status of the prophets and messengers, that they are still human beings. And the 10th and the 11th was the khasais of the prophets and messengers, their special qualities and the special qualities of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we stopped on the 11th muqaddimah in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, which we read last week, that I have been given preference over the prophets with six things, that I was given comprehensive speech, given victory by fear being placed in the hearts of my enemies, that the spoils of war were made lawful for me, the earth has been made a means of purification and a place of prayer, and I was sent to the creation, the whole of it, and khutima bi al-nabiyun, that the prophets have been sealed with me, I am the seal of the prophets, and the hadith of Jabir, and the same things were mentioned, except that in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, utitu al-shafa'a, I've been given, yani intercession. And before we go any further, we want to just stop here, yani a little bit, on this point of intercession. I mentioned that the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ that is intended here, and Allah knows best, is al-shafa'a al-udhma. Al-shafa'a al-udhma. First of all, what is intercession? Yani intercession, linguistically, it means to make something that is what? Something that is even odd. Al-shafa'a, to make something that's even odd. Linguistically, the technical meaning is that a person intercedes, steps in on behalf of somebody else. Yani there were two people, and the third party comes in, steps in to intercede, to bring about some benefit or to prevent some harm. The intercession, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says in the explanation of Lumat al-Itiqad, and it's also mentioned by other scholars in other books like yani al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, Wasatiyyah, Aqidah ibn Abi Zayd, and other books of Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah. The intercession is mentioned. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says that intercession is divided into two types. Al-Khasa wal-Aama. Al-Khasa wal-Aama. Al-Khasa is that which is special, particular, exclusive to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Al-Aama is that which is for him, as well as the other prophets and the angels, and some from amongst the believers. As far as Al-Khasa, it is, and the Ahlul Mawqif, yani in reference to the people at the time of standing. Yani that when they are in this terrible, difficult situation, frightened, and yani with the difficulties of the hour of approach of the judgment, yani standing, waiting for the coming of Allah, then the people will go to Adam, and they will go to the other prophets, and none of them will be able to intercede for them until they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This intercession is for Allah to come forward and to begin the judgment. This is al-shafa'a al-udhma. As far as al-shafa'a al-aama, that's for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others besides him, it is primarily the intercession for the Ahlul Kabair, the people who committed major sins, who have been entered into the hellfire. Yani, to what? Intercede to bring them out of the hellfire after they have been in the hellfire and they have been burned to charcoal. Then the Prophet ﷺ would intercede for them, and other prophets would intercede for them, and the angels would intercede, and some of the believers would intercede. This is general intercession. That's for the Prophet Muhammad and others besides him. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, in Lunat al-Itiqah, he mentions, and he discussed some of the other types of intercession. Some of the scholars mention, besides these two, six more. And from amongst them is the intercession for a person who was, yani, headed for the hellfire, to prevent them from entering the hellfire. Or a person, yani, whose good deeds and evil deeds were equal, to admit them into the paradise, even though their deeds were equal. And from amongst them is the intercession for a person who was going to the paradise, but to raise their station in paradise. And for another person who's in the hellfire, and that is exclusively for the Prophet ﷺ, in reference to his uncle Abu Talib, that his punishment in the hellfire will be what? Be lightened, it will be reduced. And also from amongst the types of intercession is the intercession for the people who would enter the paradise without al-hisab, without account being taken of them, and the intercession for the believers to enter the paradise, yani to enter after the judgment has been made. And these are some of the types of intercession that are mentioned in Aqidah Tahawiyyah in detail, with a lot of discussion and explanation, and in other books of Aqidah. We just wanted to mention this, because the Shaykh mentioned, yani from the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, intercession, he means the yani major intercession, the great intercession, al-shifa' al-udhma, and these are some of the other types of intercession. If anybody goes back to Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmed, and some of the explanations of it you find the intercession mentioned there in some of his types, and likewise in some of the other books like Lumat al-I'tiqad by Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah. After this we go to the next Muqaddimah, yani some of the explanation that the Shaykh gave here concerning the qasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He outlines them and he has some comments on some of them. We'll read those comments quickly. From the qasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we mentioned from the hadith of Abu Hurairah and the hadith of Jabir and Abdullah radiallahu anhumah last week, the Shaykh outlines them. He says that from the qasais of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he was given jawami al-kalim, comprehensive speech, as has preceded in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu just recently. And some of the explainers of hadith, they have said that jawami al-kalim an yatakallama kalimatan aw jumlatan yadkhulu tahtaha al-kathiru min al-ma'ani al-azima al-jalila al-jamila. This jawami al-kalim, comprehensive speech, is that he speaks with a word or a sentence, one word or one sentence, and within that expression, that word or that sentence, al-kathir min al-ma'ani al-azima al-jamila. Yani it contains many great, magnificent, and beautiful meanings. A small statement, a word or a sentence containing many magnificent, great, and beautiful meanings. This is the meaning of Jawami al-Kalima, that the Prophet ﷺ would speak just a few words, and within those few words was a lot of meaning. The second of the khasais, special characteristics or features or qualities of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that's exclusive to him, to the exclusion of the other prophets, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory by ru'b, fear being placed in the hearts of his enemies, masirat shahrin, as in the hadith of Jabir and Abdullah, he said, the distance of 1 month. Yani, when he's 1 month away from them, even if they were that far away, when he intended to go to war, fear will be placed in the hearts of his enemies. Qala al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, yani his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, under the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah that we have mentioned previously, mafhumuhu, yani what is understood from this expression, that he will be given victory by fear of being placed in the hearts of his enemy as far as 1 month away. What is understood from this is that this is not something that will be given to other than him, that they be given victory by fear being placed in the hearts of their enemy to this distance. That is, that they are 1 month away, traveling. How far do they travel in 1 month? Very far. This hasn't been given to anyone besides him, nor a further distance than that, more than that. أَمَّا مَدُونَهَا فَلَا. But as far as what's less than that, we don't say that this hadith means, what is understood from this expression is that it doesn't necessarily include a distance less than that. It's possible that a distance less than that, someone else may have been given this kind of success or victory. However, love the riwayah to Amr ibn Shu'ayb, however the expression in another narration of the hadith of Amr ibn Shu'ayb, he said, نُصِرْتُ عَلَى الْعَدُوِّ بِرُعُبْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ مَصِيرُتُ الشَّعْرِ. And this wording of hadith is a little bit different. And Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani is saying this wording is more clear, and it makes us to understand that this distance, or more, even less than it, is exclusive to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, فَالظَّاهِرُ, what is apparent from this expression, that I've been given success or victory over my enemy by fear being placed in their hearts, even if the distance between me and them was 1 month, even if it was that far. He said that فَالظَّاهِرُ اِخْتِصَاصُهُ بِهِ مُطْلَقًا. Yani what is understood from this expression is that this is a khasisa, yani something that is special, particular and exclusive to the Prophet Muhammad absolutely. Nobody else shares in this in any way whatsoever, lesser or greater distance and so on. But rather this distance, the furthest limit of 1 month has been mentioned only because there was not between him and any one of his enemies a distance more than this. That was the furthest any of his enemies was from him, and that's why this distance was mentioned. Otherwise, this is something exclusive to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This distance, or more or less, it is exclusive to him. فَهَذِهِ خُصُوصِيَّةِ حَاصِلَةٌ لَهُ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ. This is something that is particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is going to be given absolutely, even if he was alone without an army. Even if he went out to fight an enemy and he was alone without an army. But is it something that would be given to his ummah after him? Fihi ihtimal. This is something, and it is possible, but we can't say with definiteness. The third of the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that what is the point that we are discussing here? We are talking about the excellence of some people over others, and the excellence of the prophets over others, and the excellence of some prophets over others. And here, the excellence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over all of the prophets. These are things that are given to him exclusively. It wasn't given to anyone before. That the spoils of war have been made lawful for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, as opposed to those before him. As in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said, وَلَمْ تَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. It had not been made lawful for anyone besides me. The fourth of them, he mentions that the earth has been made for him and for his ummah, masjidan wa tahuran, a place of prayer and a means of purification, بِخِلَافْ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُ, as opposed to those prophets who were before him, or the people before him. For indeed, إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُصَلُّونَ إِلَّا فِي أَمَاكِنِ الصَّلَاةِ. They didn't used to pray except in the places that are designated for salat. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ said, this is for him and for his ummah. فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَقَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّي. Anyone from amongst my ummah, if the time for salat comes upon him, then he prays, then he must pray, wherever he is in the earth, whether he's in a masjid or outside of a masjid. Number five, أَنَّهُ خَاتَمْ الرُّسُولُ وَأَفْضَلُهُمْ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ تَابِيًا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. That he is the seal of the messengers, and he is the best of them, and the one who have the most followers on يوم القيامة, day of resurrection. And the sixth of them, أَنَّ رِسَالَتَهُ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَةً. That his message that he was sent with is for the whole of humanity. For the whole of humanity. And as he said in the hadith of Jabir, that a prophet was missioned to his people exclusively, but I have been missioned to the whole of humanity. For indeed, every prophet was sent to his people. As for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been sent to the whole of humanity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Sab'ah, 34th Surah, 28th Ayat, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That indeed, مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ, we have not sent you except to the whole of humanity, بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا, as a giver of good news for those who obey Allah's commands and the reward of Allah that will be for them in Jannah. And the نَذِيرًا, a warner of Allah's punishment to the people who disobey Him and the punishment that Allah has in store for them. But most of the people do not know. Either, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, yani in brief, and he made a lot of points, but from amongst them, he said, most of the people do not know, meaning that they actually do not know. They are juhal. They are ignorant. Or they know, but they don't act like they know, meaning they don't act upon it. Most of the people don't know. Yani they don't know that He has been sent to the whole of humanity, that He is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets, or they have knowledge of it. Like some of the people have knowledge of it, right? Especially al-Yahud, right? They had knowledge, but they didn't act upon it. So they act like they don't have knowledge of this. And after this, the Shaykh mentions another ayat, yani that the Prophet Muhammad has been sent to the whole of humanity in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 158th ayat, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. O mankind, indeed, I am the messenger of Allah to you all, jami'an. Naam. And the tafsir of this ayat is very important. I will just mention from it, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, to all the people, meaning the Arabs from them and the non-Arabs, to the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, and other than the people of the book. Yani to everyone. He's the messenger of Allah to everyone. No one has an excuse, yani, to resist believing in Him and following the message that He has been sent with. The seventh khasisa that is mentioned for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that which is not mentioned in either of the two preceding hadith. That is baqa'u mu'jizatihi al-khalida wa hiya al-Qur'an al-Karim wa huwa mahfuzun bihifdhillahi ta'ala. Qala Allah ta'ala inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That is the remaining after him, the remaining of his eternal miracle. Yani from amongst the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, one of them is eternal, so that not only people who were in his presence at that time witness, rather the whole of humanity after him until Yawm al-Qiyamah will witness it. And that eternal miracle, it is the noble Qur'an. And it is mahfuz, it is protected from any change or alteration or addition or subtraction to it by the protection of Allah the Most High, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr, 15th surah and 9th ayat, indeed, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. Look at this Arabic language, Quran, Kalamullah. Inna, yani, verily we, right? Nahnu means we, right? Nazzalna means we, right? Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. Subhanallah. The Quran is azeem, Kalamullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The emphasis of this, definitely, certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, we have revealed this dhikr, meaning the Qur'an, this reminder of the Qur'an, wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Inna, that's definiteness, right? Lahafidhun, lam, this is also for definiteness, confirmation, ta'aqeed. Definitely, certainly, we will protect it, guard it, and preserve it from any corruption or any change. And here I just mentioned briefly, yani the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says that this Qur'an, it contains a dhikr, that is a reminder of the masail and the dalail al-wadiha, yani all the issues that people are in need of with clear proof and evidences. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved it while it is being sent down and after it has been sent down. Yani while it is being sent down, so that nothing is changed until it reaches the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after it has been sent down, it's preserved in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the hearts of the believers. And how is it preserved? He said in two ways. Al-lafz wal-ma'na. Yani the wording of it is preserved and the meanings of it, what Allah intends by those words, are preserved. Not just the wording, but the meanings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends by them is also preserved. And the Shaykh said, وَهَذَا مِنْ عَظَمْ عَيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمِهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is from the greatest ayat of Allah and favors of Allah upon His believing servants. What is it? That Allah has sent down a revelation, He has protected it in its sending, He has protected it after it has arrived, He has protected its wording, He has protected its meaning, so that, subhanallah, you have the revelation of Allah as was revealed more than 1400 years ago intact, without any change, any addition, any subtraction, any alteration. This is indeed a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh says, Al-Muqaddimah Al-Thaniya Ashara, the 12th preliminary statement, introductory statement. And this statement is brief. It is from those, yani, statements, preliminary statements, that we need to consider as we proceed on to the text, the content, the intended, yani, subject of this book. Yani, these are preliminary statements that are building up towards the importance and significance of this topic of what? The akhlaq of the Anbiya. From amongst those preliminary statements, من لوازم منزلة الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام أنهم إذا كانوا أفضل البشر فإن من لازم من ذلك أن أخلاقهم أفضل الأخلاق وأن أدابهم أفضل الآداب على الإطلاق. That from those things which are necessitated by the station, the status of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, annahum idha kanu afdal al-bashar, since they are the best of all human beings, فَإِنَّ مِنْ لَاجِمِ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَخْلَاقُهُمْ أَفْضَلُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. So what it follows then, if they are the best of human beings, it follows that their character is the best of all character, and that their adab, their manners, are the best of all manners, al itlaq, absolutely, without exception. Yani their character is the best of character, and their manners, their adab is the best of adab. Subhanallah. Yani what does that mean to us? Yani that these are the prophets and messengers that Allah sent as a model to be followed. They have the best character and the best manners. So what should our character and manners be like if we are following them? Yani we identify, we say we believe in the prophets and messengers, especially the seal of the prophets, right? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But is our character like their character? Is our manners like their manners? This is a serious matter. This is very serious. How do we have the courage, the nerve, to talk about the prophets and messengers, that we love the prophets and messengers, we follow the prophets and messengers. And Allah sent them as a model to be followed. But our character is not like their character. And our manners is not like their manners. There's something wrong with that. We have to examine ourselves and we have to improve our situation and not be content with this. Indeed, they are Ahlul Samt, Wal Maru'a, Wal Akhlaq Al Nabila, Wal Sifat Al Sharifa, Alayhim Salatu Wal Salam. Indeed, the prophets and messengers, they are the Ahlul Al Samt Wal Maru'a. Yani those who have noble ways and a sense of honor, and their akhlaq, their character, their moral excellence is noble, exalted, sublime, and their characteristics are honorable and respected characteristics. May the salat and salam be upon all of them. The 12th, muqaddima, na'am, that the prophets and messengers, they are the best of humanity, and they are, then it follows that their character and their manners is the best character and manners, ala al-itlaq, without any exception. Al-muqaddima al-thalitha ashra, the 13th preliminary, yani introductory statement. لِعَظِيم شَعْنِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ وعظيم شأن أخلاقهم وحدهم ودعواتهم فإن الله عز وجل أمر أفضلهم وهو نبي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يقتدي بهداهم فقال عز وجل له صلى الله عليه وسلم أولئك الذين حد الله فبهداه مقتدي سورة الأنعام 6 سورة 90th آيات يعني due to the magnificence, the importance, the great significance of the affair of the prophets, the status and station of the prophets, and the magnificence of their character, their akhlaq, and their guidance, their huda, their hadi, and their da'wah, their call, due to the excellence and magnificence of this, for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the best of them, and that is, our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to follow their guidance, to take their guidance as a model, as an example for him to follow. Yani due to what? Due to the magnificence of the station of the prophets and the excellence of the character of the prophets, Allah has ordered the best of them, to follow their example, to take them as a model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am 6 surah 90th ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَدَ اللَّهِ. These are those whom Allah has guided. Yani the prophets that are mentioned in the ayats before this. They are those whom Allah has guided. So take their guidance and follow it. فَبِهُدَاهُمْ أُقْتَدِي. So take their guidance as a model and an example to be followed. This is the command to the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh says, the meaning of this is, يَا مُحَمَّدْ اِقْتَدِي بِهُدَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. O Muhammad, follow, take as an example and a model the guidance of the prophets who were before you. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, أي امشي أيها الرسول الكريم خلف هؤلاء الأنبياء الأخيار. يعني, O noble prophet, walk behind those prophets who were chosen and select. اتبع ملتهم, follow their milla, their way. وقد امتثل صلى الله عليه وسلم فَاهْتَدَى بِهَدِي الرُّسُلْ قَبْلَهُ. Yani, so the Prophet ﷺ, he complied with the command of Allah and he followed, he took as a model and an example the guidance of the messengers before him. As a result of that, وَجَمَعَ كُلُّ كَمَالْ فِيهِمْ. So he collected, he gathered every characteristic of perfection that he found in them. He gathered it all together in himself. فَاجْتَمَعَتْ لَدَيْهِ فَضَائِلْ وَخَصَائِسْ فَاقَ بِهَا جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَكَانَ سَيِّدَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَإِمَامَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So there were gathered within him all of the virtues of excellence and the special characteristics due to which he surpassed everyone in the world. Jamil Alameen. Wakana Sayyid al Mursaleen, he was the master of the messengers, wa Imam al Muttaqeen, and the leader of the people of Taqwa. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi wa alayhim ajmain. So may the salat and salam of Allah be upon him and upon all of the prophets and messengers. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'di, he closes with this comment that leads us to the next muqaddimah. He said, وَبِهَذَا الْمَلْحَظِ يعني based on this point, يعني in light of this يعني matter, of this point of what? That he was ordered to follow the prophets and messengers, he complied with that order, and therefore he collected with him all the great virtues and excellence of the prophets before him, so he became the best of all humanity, surpassed all of the whole of humanity. He said, وَبِهَذَا الْمَلْحَظِ by this note, اِسْتَدَلَّ بِهَذِهِ مَنْ اِسْتَدَلَّ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَفْضَلَ الرُّسُولُ كُلِّهِمْ. Yani based upon this, those who they used it as an evidence, اِسْتَدَلَّ بِهَذِهِ يعني بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, they used it as a proof, who? Those from amongst the Sahaba who made the claim that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best of all messengers, of all of them, of every single one of them. Based on what? Based on this ayat, that Allah commanded him to follow the prophets and the messengers who came before him, and he followed, he complied. And therefore he gathered together all the excellent virtues and characteristics of those before him, became, and therefore became the best of them. After this, the Shaykh mentions, al-muqaddama al-rabi'a ashara, يعني the 14th preliminary statement. 14th preliminary statement. Wallahu musta'an. يعني as the Shaykh just mentioned in the tafsir of the previous ayat, the Shaykh, he comes with this point. He begins with, يعني لازم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك وصار على هدي إخوانه الأنبياء عليهم السلام وزاده الله تعالى فضلا وكان أعظم الأنبياء عليهم السلام منزلة وكانت أخلاقه أعظم الأخلاق وأشرفها. يعني so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم adhered strictly to that which he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he traveled upon the guidance of his brothers from amongst the prophets, and Allah increased him in excellence, so he became the greatest of the prophets and messengers in station, in status, the greatest of them. And his character became the greatest character and the most noble and honorable character of all of humanity. And the Shaykh mentions some proofs here, and each of them really have some yani comment that we should make. Allahu musta'an, the time is yani short. For this reason, yani our time now between 7 o'clock and Maghrib, yani this week is 8:07, and next week will be before 8 o'clock. Inshallah, we'll change the time. I know it may be some difficulty for some, but we have to change the time to, instead of 7 o'clock, we're going to start the class at 8 o'clock, because the time is very short right now between 7 o'clock and Maghrib, and the time is getting shorter every week, 5, 6, 7 minutes. So inshallah, in the next class, if I didn't mention it at the end, I mention it now, the next class inshallah will, the time will be, instead of 7 o'clock, will be 8 o'clock, and from Maghrib to Isha. He said that he stuck to this and he became the best of the prophets and messengers in station and in character and in manners. And he mentions as a proof for this 3 ayahs from the Quran. The first of them, وَلَقَدْ زَكَّ اللَّهَ لِسَانَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared the uprightness and the integrity, has praised and commended the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his speech. زَكَّ اللَّهَ لِسَانَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا, that he doesn't speak from desires, it is nothing but revelation that has been revealed to him. Surah An-Najm, 53rd Surah, 3rd Ayat. And after this he said, وَزَكَّ اللَّهُ بَصَرَهُ, and Allah has also commended and praised and declared the integrity and uprightness of his sight. وَمَا زَاغَ بَصَرَهُ وَمَا طَغَى, yani his sight, the sight of the Prophet ﷺ, did not zaga, did not go right or left off the straight path, nor did it transgress the limits or the bounds that Allah has set. Yani his tongue is in check, he doesn't say except that was revealed, and his eyes are in check, he doesn't look any way in any other direction or look beyond that which is permissible. وَزَكَّ اللَّهُ خُلُقَهُ, and Allah has also commended and praised his character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed you upon khuluqin azim, a high, exalted standard of character. And Ibn Kathir says, ala khuluqin azim, ala deen azim. And this khuluq is the deen. And didn't Aisha radiallahu anha say, when she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. And the second ayat is also in Surah Al-Najm. That is 53rd Surah, 17th ayat. And the third ayat is Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, 4th ayat. And I just want to mention briefly here, yani concerning the second ayat, وَمَا يَنْتِقَ الْعَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا, that he doesn't speak from his desires, but revelation is revealed. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, وَدَلَّ هَذَا عَلَى أَنَّ السُّنَّ وَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ لِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is very important, that this ayat, he doesn't speak from his desires, but revelation is revealed. This indicates that the sunnah, the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is revelation from Allah to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kama qala Allah ta'ala, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And Allah has sent down upon you the book and the hikmah, yani the Qur'an and the sunnah was sent down, it is revelation. And second point, this ayat also indicates, وَأَنَّهُ مَعَصُوم. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'asum. Naam. In what? فِيمَا يُخْبِرُ بِهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ شَرْعِهِ. Yani, in that which he informs us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reference to what? The revelation. Not that he's no longer a human being and he's infallible, he can't make a mistake, but not in delivering the message and the sharia that he is delivering from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because his speech doesn't come from his desires. Rather, it comes from revelation that is revealed. And there's also some comment about the second ayat, but for the sake of time. Finally, the Shaykh says in this 14th Muqaddimah that the Prophet ﷺ did indeed comply. He stuck, adhered strictly to following the guidance of his brothers, the Prophets before him, and Allah gave him an increase in excellence and made him the best and the highest in station and in character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared and praised the purity of his speech and his sight and his character. And the Shaykh says, وَقَالَ بَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءَ الشَّافِعِيَّةَ تعظيم العظماء لشيء يدل على توغله في العظمة. That the great people, if they declare something to be great, this indicates that that thing is really swimming in greatness. It is deep rooted in greatness. If the great people declare something to be great, فكيف إذا كان المعظم هُوَ عَظَمَ الْعُظَمَى وَهُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So what about if the one who is declaring the greatness of something is the greatest of anything that's great or anyone that's great? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He is al-azim. So if he declares the greatness of something, what does that indicate? Naam. After this, the Shaykh says, al-muqaddim al-khamisa Ashra, the 15th introductory statement, preliminary statement. Amrana, Amrana Allah Jalla wa Ala biluzum al-iqtida bi Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah has commanded us. Now it came to us, right? It's coming home now. Allah has commanded us to stick to following the guidance and the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In where he said in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 21st ayat, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example to follow. Uswa hasana, an excellent example to follow. For who? For whoever has hope in Allah, in meeting Allah. Whoever believes and hopes, looks forward to the day when they're going to meet Allah and be called to account. He's an example of the person who's looking forward to Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's the best example, the model to be followed for anybody who believes that there's a day of accounting. And they're looking forward to that. They are waiting for that day to get their reward. He's the best example for that one, whoever kana yarju Allah, hopes for the meeting of Allah, wal Yawm al-Akhirah, and the last day, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and who remembers Allah much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, بِالسَّيْرْ عَلَى نَهْجِهِ, to follow His way, وَبِالْإِخْتِدَى بِحَجِهِ, and to take as an example and a model His guidance. and his noble character and characteristics, and all of his characteristics are noble, exalted, lofty. Naam. And this ayah also, very important ayat that we're all familiar with, mashallah, it is well known to all of us. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Asadi has a long commentary concerning this, and we're not going to read it all, but I just want to say that he says that the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, Usuliyin, they said based on this ayat, that the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are a proof in our deen of what we should or should not do. And that the original ruling concerning this is that his ummah are to follow his example in the ahkam that he has come with. We must follow it. Except if there is a proof that something is particular or exclusive for him, like having more than four wives and so on, or fasting continuously, yani day and night without breaking the fast. He said that the uswa, the model or the example of two types, hasana and sayya, the good example and the evil example. And the good example is in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For whoever takes him as a model, then they will travel upon the path that leads to the karamatullah, yani to the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a sirat al-mustaqim. Whoever follows, takes him as an example, they will be on the path that leads to the honor of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the reward of Allah in the next life, and that is the straight path. As for whoever follows or takes as an example other than him, yani in a model or an example or in a matter that's contrary to what he has left for us, then this is al-uswa as-sayya, the evil model. Like the saying of the disbelievers or the mushrikeen when they said, "Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun." Yani when they were told to follow the messengers and take them as an example, they said, "Indeed, we found our followers, our fathers, our ancestors on a certain way, and indeed we will follow their guidance," yani the evil way. So the good way, al-uswa al-hasana, is only traveled and the only one who is given, yani the success to follow it, are those who kana yarju Allah wal yawm al-akhirah, those who have hope in Allah and the last day. Those are the people who follow the good way. And those are the people who Allah will give tawfiq to. He will give them success and the ability to follow that way. And that is due to what they have of iman and hope of Allah's reward and fear of Allah's punishment, which encourage them to take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their example. The other people will not follow his way, even though all have been commanded to follow him. المقدمة السادسة عشرة. يعني after we have been commanded to follow the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Shaykh, he mentions the 16th مقدمة, and that is some affairs or some matters, and he mentions 8 of them, due to which we know that Islam, يعني attaches great importance to the matter of good character, of noble character. يعني عظم الإسلام شأن الأخلاق. Islam gives great importance to the matter of good character, noble character and morals. And this is from من وجوه كثيرة. يعني from many perspectives we can see this. The Shaykh, he mentions 8 of them. The first of them is that Allah the Most High has praised His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم due to the magnificence of His noble character. This is an indication of what? That Allah praises his noble character, he praised him due to his character. This is a sign that Islam, yani great, gives great importance, attaches great importance to good character. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mentioned in Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, 4th Ayat, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah is praising the Prophet for this noble, high standard of character. Second one, وَأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the greatest and the best of all human beings in character, and he used to supplicate to his Rabb that Allah would grant him husnul akhlaq. He is the best in character, and he used to pray to Allah, "Oh Allah, give me good character." He used to say, for example, in the hadith reported by Ali in Sahih Muslim, "Wahdini li ahsan al akhlaq," and guide me to the best character. "La yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta," and no one guides to this good character except You, O Allah. And he used to say, "Allahumma kama hassanta خلقي فحسن خلقي, just as you have made my physical appearance beautiful, so also make my character beautiful. And there are different narrations of this hadith, and yani some of them are definitely sahih. We don't have time to discuss it in detail. The third matter that shows yani the great importance that Islam attaches to good character, and all of these are points due to which what? A Muslim should attach great importance to good character. It should be of the utmost importance to us. Brothers and sisters, don't be deluded, don't be deceived that you are from the people on the straight path, that you are from the da'wah salafiyah, you are the salafi people, you are the people of knowledge and guidance and sunnah, but it's just kalam from your tongue, but it's not manifest in your action, your behavior, and your ibadah, and your character, and your adab. Don't be deceived by this. Rather, Islam attaches great importance not just to espousing a word or claiming to follow or collecting information. I got a lot of knowledge, a lot of ayahs from the Quran, a lot of hadith, mashaAllah. But you're just collecting information. Where's your character? You think that character is not that important. Alhamdulillah, we have the correct aqidah, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. Islam plays great importance. Naam, the foundation is your aqidah. Naam. It is incumbent upon you to have ibadah. Naam, good deeds. But don't forget about character and manners. The third point, he says, that Islam has made husnul akhlaq, good character, a qurba, a means of nearness to Allah that might equal some of the great acts of nearness to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الْقَائِمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالصَّائِمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. That a man would reach through his good character the same level of the one who stands all night and fast all day. How will he reach this? By good character. And the fourth point, that the Prophet ﷺ made clear that the nearest of people to him on Yawm al-Qiyamah would be those who are best in character. The Prophet ﷺ said, by the way, the previous hadith is mentioned by, is reported by Abu Dawud and the Musnad Imam Ahmed. And this hadith, and it is authentic, and this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed and Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ أَحَبَّكُمْ إِلَيَّ, the most beloved of you to me, وَأَقْرَبَكُمْ مِنِّي مَنْزِلًا يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and the nearest to me in station on the day of resurrection is أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا, those who have, who are best in character, who have the ahsan, best character. The one who is most beloved to me and who will be nearest to me in station on the day of resurrection is those who have best character. And the fifth point, الحذر والتحذير من سيئها, that we have been warned and cautioned against evil character, in which the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith mentioned previously, when he said, وَهْدِنِي لِأَحْسَنْ الْأَخْلَاقِ, he said, وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا لَا يَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ, and turn away from me evil character, and no one turns away from me evil character except you, O Allah. Reported by Imam Muslim. And the sixth point, that he ﷺ made clear that good character affects a person's deeds, yani making it salah, yani valid, or fasad, yani corrupted, making it good or making it spoiled. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحب الناس إلى الله تعالى أنفعهم للناس, the most beloved of people to Allah, the Most High, are those who benefit the people most, until the end of the hadith where he said, وَإِنَّ السُّوَ الْخُلُقُ يُفْسِدُ الْعَامَلَ كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْخَلَّ الْعَصَلِ, that indeed, definitely, evil character spoils the deeds that we do otherwise, just as vinegar spoils honey. And this hadith reported by Tabarani and Al-Kabir and Ibn Abi Dunya, and Shaykh Al-Albani said in As-Sahiha that it is Hasan. And these are six points that the Shaykh mentions, showing that Islam declares the excellence of good character. And the 17th and 18th point, we're close to the adhan, inshallah. If the brother calls the adhan, we're going to stop and listen to the adhan, and then we're going to continue for a few minutes just to finish what we have for today. 17th muqaddimah, al-muqaddimah sabi ashara. From what has preceded, from the magnificence of the affair of the prophets alayhimus salam, and the magnificence of the affair of their character, And that which is with Allah, yani in terms of good character in Islam, yani how Islam sees good character in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its high station and its noble, yani degrees, high degrees. حَرِيٌّ بِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُعْنَى بِتَحْذِيبِ أَخْلَاقِهِ. So it is worthy, it is befitting of every Muslim, and يُعْنَى, to give care and attention to the improvement, to the polishing of one's character. Why? Due to the great status of the prophets and the magnificence of their character, and also due to the high status and high degree of good character in Islam in general in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the magnificence of the character of the prophets and the high status of good character in general in Islam in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, every Muslim, it is worthy, it is incumbent, it is befitting of them to give care and attention to the polishing and the improvement of their character. وَأَنْ يَكُونُ حَسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, and that that person should have good character فِي جَمِيعِ جَوَارِحِ وَفِي جَمِيعِ مَجَالِسِهِ, and that they should exhibit and exemplify good character in all of the limbs of their body. Yani in every part of their body, in the way they look, and the way that they speak, and the way that they walk, and the way that they talk, and the way that they touch, in every limb of their body should exemplify good character. وَفِي جَمِيعِ مَجَالِسِهِمْ, and in every place of sitting, of gathering, every place, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're in the schoolyard, in the park, in the masjid, in every place of gathering to exemplify good character. وَنْ يَسْتَشْعِرْ مَنْزِلَةِ الْخَلْقِ الْحَسَنِ, and to be aware, to feel consciousness of this high status of good character, and to know, and this is a very important point, and to know that good character is a da'wah samita. Good character is a silent nam caller. Yani, the 17th muqaddimah, it is the heart, the core of the issue. This is the core of the issue. And after all that has preceded, of the difference between people and the excellence of some over others, and the reality of excellence is in iman. And what takes a person to a high level is knowledge. And the highest level is the level of the prophets. And the prophets are the best in character of all humanity. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the best of them in station, in status, in character, in manners, in every way. And we have been ordered to follow him, and he has been ordered to follow them. Then it is incumbent upon us, if we know this, if we know the yani the magnificence of the station of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, and the magnificence of their character, and the high station and status of good character in Islam in front of Allah. And finally, the Shaykh said what? And to keep in mind that good character is a da'wah samita. It is a silent invitation to Islam. And know that good character is a da'awatun samidha, samita. Yani it is silent call, silent invitation. So how many people have entered Islam from the people? How many of them have entered Islam? بسبب الأخلاق الحسنة, due to the good character that they found in some of the Muslims. وكم أبغض الإسلام من أقوام وزاد بغضهم للإسلام بسبب سيء الأخلاق. And how many of the people hated Islam from amongst the people, and their hatred was increased for Islam due to the evil character of some of the Muslims. فحري بكل مسلم أن يرعى هذا الجانب فيما يتعلق بتحسين أخلاقه. Therefore it is incumbent for every Muslim to give care to this matter, to watch over, to look at, to examine, to inspect their self, to inspect this janib, yani this side, this aspect of good character, yani of yani improving or polishing or perfecting their character, that it may be a means that someone may accept Islam. And the opposite, yani, is the same. Indeed, in good character is a great reward. The Shaykh didn't say this, I'm just adding here now. Indeed, in good character is a great reward and a noble high station. in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. Naam. It is incumbent upon us then, and to examine ourselves and to consider the importance of good character in Islam and the status of the prophets and their excellence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their good character and the effect of our character on the people in calling them to Islam or running them away from Islam. And the Shaykh, he mentions final muqaddimah. Yani this is the most important thing, that if yani the only thing that we got out of this is that we understand the importance of good character, the model and example of the prophets, and that is incumbent upon us to follow the example, first and foremost, most importantly, to follow the example of the best of them, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh says, 18th muqaddimah, after the mention of these preliminary statements, I will close with a final preliminary statement, introductory statement, and it is that any yani aspect of good character that has been, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned concerning some of his prophets, then it is to be attributed to all of the prophets alayhi salatu wassalam. And that is because some of them have followed the example of others of them, and every one of them has followed the example of the one who came before him. So after yani the mentioning or the conveying of these introductory statements, I will now mention some of what Allah has made easy to mention from the good character and morals of the prophets and messengers عليهم الصلاة والسلام. فأقول وبالله تعالى التوفيق. So I say يعني what I'm about to say, and success is with Allah the Most High. And the Shaykh mentions the first of the characteristics of the prophets, that is يعني خشيتullah, and they were the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since they were the people who knew Allah best. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء, that those who fear Allah from amongst His servants are the ulama. And who are the greatest of the ulama? The anbiya. We'll stop here, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and just say that for myself first and all of us, after reminding us that the class tomorrow, next week is going to start at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock at Maghrib time, let us remind ourselves that as we begin to look at the character of the prophets and messengers, that we must look at ourselves and compare ourselves to them, and look at our shortcomings and try to make an effort to improve ourselves and to polish our character and manners, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and make this dua, Allah guide me to the best of character, and Allah save me from the evil character. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.